I'm going to ask you to turn, first of all, to Acts chapter 2 this morning, verses 39 and 40. Last two Sundays, I spoke to you on what it means to be saved, what it means to be eternally saved, that is, born again, regenerated, to be a child of God. Took me two Sundays to talk about that, and today I want to, if the Lord would bless me, I want to talk to you about how that we, as God's children, can save ourselves. Now, it ought to be automatic that you understand, I'm not talking about us saving ourselves for heaven. It is actually only those who are already saved, born again, regenerated, who can possibly save themselves from this untoward generation. Acts chapter 2, this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. He's told them to repent, be baptized, told them that that promises to all of God's children, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, that means even Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall effectually call. Now, I've put that word effectually in there, but that's what that means. This promise that he's fixing to tell them about is to all of God's children who have been called from death to life. Are you with me? And with many other words did he testify and exhort. The word exhort means encourage. We don't use that word much anymore, exhort. But I want y'all to know I'm here this morning to exhort you with all my heart. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, I remind you that Peter is here speaking to people who are already eternally saved, who are already born again, who already have a spiritual mind with which they have just received the gospel and been convicted by it. Y'all listen to me. No dead sinner is convicted by their own sin. Charles Spurgeon once said, where there is pain, there is life. And that's brilliant. I wish I'd have thought of that. I wish I could boast on that I came up with that, but I did not. So remember, these are devout men. Remember that. That's in Acts 2:5. They were devout men from every nation. Y'all, they were devout. Born again children of God before they ever heard the gospel. Y'all, it's only devout men, born again children of God, that can hear and understand the gospel in the first place. Dead people don't understand that. Spiritually dead people do not. The gospel had pricked them in their hearts. That is, it had convicted them, as I say again. And to be convicted of one's own sin is irrefutable proof that that individual is already a child of God. Are y'all with me? And they're about to be baptized into the church. 3,000 of them. What? Okay. So, to these saved people, are you with me now? To these people who've been born again, they're heaven bought, heaven bound. Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Please notice what they're to save themselves from. They're not to save themselves from a burning hell, I say one more time. They are to save themselves from an untoward, wicked, perverse, crooked, stubborn, woke generation. Now I ask you, do we need it? The only people who can do this, who can possibly save themselves from an untoward generation, are those who have been given life from the dead. Ezekiel 16:6. Those who have been given a holy nature inside in regeneration. Ephesians 4:24. Created in righteousness and true holiness in the inner man. Those who have had a working conscience installed at regeneration when God wrote His moral laws in their hearts and minds so that they can actually, and this is crazy, they can actually sit in judgment on their own evil actions. That's just wild. I hope you understand, my brothers and sisters, you have to have two natures before you can sit in judgment on your own evil actions. There's got to be something good in there, sitting in judgment on your evil actions. Only such people can save themselves from this untoward generation. Only people who have been glorified in the inner man, Romans 8:29-31, only God's children who've been glorified in the inner man, given this new creature that is, when they die, going to enter the courts of glory. Are you with me? Only that kind of person can save him or herself from this untoward generation. Everybody understand? And so, the message that Peter gave them in 30 AD is the same message you and I need in the year 2024. Because does anybody have any question that it is a crooked and perverse world we live in? Point number one. My brothers and sisters, don't forget anything I've said about we're eternally saved, we're not talking about that. In the context of saving ourselves from this untoward generation, y'all listen, we must save ourselves. No one will or can do this for you. Amen. Others may be able to help you, but I'm going to tell you, if you and I as individuals are not hooked up short, working hard to save ourselves from this untoward generation, other people aren't going to be able to help us much, if at all. It takes a personal, individual commitment on the part of each and every one of us if we're going to be saved from this untoward generation we live in. It is every child of God's individual responsibility and privilege to save yourself from this untoward generation. Are you with me? My brothers and sisters, we must do all that is required in order to be so saved from this wicked world. We must put forth the effort required. Mike and I have talked. Mike's been so good to help me with all the Roman sermons and the YouTube channel. By the way, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I subscribe to my own channel. I know, vanity of vanities, thy name is Gary. And we've talked over and over and over about you got to work at it. Y'all listen to me. You know what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. You do not work at being eternally saved. You want to know why? Because before you're eternally saved, you're too dead to work. But once we're God's children, we've got to work at being saved from this untoward generation. And y'all, we got to keep working at it. Because evil never rests. Have y'all noticed? Have y'all noticed the political realm, how evil never rests? And by the way, evil is also well funded. Okay, get me off of that. My brothers and sisters, whom I love more than I have words to explain, we must do this. We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as we are commanded in Philippians 2:12. My brothers and sisters, it is true that God gives us the strength to do this. Say amen. This is part of what the benefit you get when you're born of God. Do you understand when you're born of God, you're given strength and abilities that you do not have by nature? Given to you by the immediate operation of Holy Spirit God. So you've got some strength, some abilities, some mind power that you did not have before. However, we must do this. We must save ourselves. And I'm going to go so far as to say that this will not come automatically. You just coasting through life. Right? I ask you, my beloved, what is automatic with you? What is automatic? What kind of behavior is automatic that happens without you even trying? What kind of behavior is that? Is it the good behavior? Now, there's deep theology in why it is that way, even in a child of God. But that is the way it is, even in a child of God. If you and I just rest on our laurels and sit around, you know, rock to sleep in the cradle of grace or whatever you want to call it, I promise you the automatic thing that's going to happen to us is not going to be that we will be saved from the untoward generation. It will have too much adverse effect on us. We must press into the kingdom ourselves. We must walk the straight and narrow way ourselves. I'm telling you, it takes a personal, individual commitment on our part. Are you with me? Each and every one of us as individuals committed to save ourselves. First thing we need to realize, there's a wicked, adulterous generation out there that we need to be saved from. I mean, holy smokes. We must do this consistently, my beloved. Listen, I say all this to you this morning, not claiming I've got it all figured out, that I've done a good job, but I am saying this to you this morning so that you can do what is necessary to preserve your life. Young and old. But I worry about the young the most. Because you young people got too many apps on your phone. I know. That's just rude. You say, Brother Gary, you got apps on your phone. You're right. We must save ourselves from the beliefs and activities of our current wicked culture. Just like the first century brethren had to. We must save ourselves from the religious elite now just as they did. I want y'all to know, I say this brokenhearted, not everything that passes for Christianity in this world is. We must save ourselves from the godless and pagan now, just as then. You say there's no paganism. Look around. Child sacrifice. Do I need to say any more than that? We sacrifice children to our own leisure and rampant lust for sex in the United States of America. Save ourselves from the political powers now, just as then. And from our own sinful natures now, just as then. You say to me, how? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Colossians chapter 3. Let me just look at a couple of three places this morning. And I say all this to you, knowing I need it just as badly as you do. I hope you understand that. I hope you do. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, that means if you're born again. So he starts out this passage saying, I'm talking to people who are already born of God. Let me pause and here and parenthetically say, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not given in order to populate heaven. It is not given in order to get people eternally saved. It is given to the eternally saved so that they can save themselves from this untoward generation, including crazy theologies. Now that's hard. That's hard. But that's just the way it is. I want you to know, my friends, not everything that's said about Christ is so. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Wow. Speaking to born again children of God and telling them they're dead. And what he means by that is in the inner man, part of them is already dead to sin. Made that way in regeneration. They're no longer dead in sins. There's a part of them now that is dead to sin. And that's the only kind of person that can save him or herself. That's the only kind of person that can do what Paul's telling the church of Colossae here to do. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That sounds to me like your eternal security is pretty secure. Your life is hid with Christ in God. God's in Christ. You're in Christ. So you're like in Christ who's in God. Sounds to me like you're pretty secure. Eternally speaking. But these eternally secure children of God are commanded in the Bible to save themselves from this untoward generation. And one of the first things you're going to have to do is set your affection. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Not carnal things. You say to me, well, I've got to, okay, I know there's a certain amount of carnal malarkey that we have to do in this life just to survive. My brothers and sisters, I understand that. This is talking about priorities. what is most important to us. We must seek heavenly things, not worldly things. My brothers and sisters, I want to say to you, this means we must not seek carnal Christianity. There's such a thing. We must not seek carnal churches. There's such a thing. And since I'm chopping this limb off behind myself, we must not seek carnal, so-called worship. I ask you, is there any of that out there? And part of that is, okay, Christy will take care of the baby. I know I'm hearing him too. There's so much of that out there, and my brothers and sisters, may I be so bold and blunt and rude as to say, it is part of the traps that are set for God's little children. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, by the way, that word affection means your mind, but I want to say it also means your passions, your passion. Y'all listen, you and I must do this. Set your affection on things above. We must do this. No one's going to do it for you. Who can set your affections anywhere other than you? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. We must make the decision and the commitment to seek spiritual things as our top priority. Our first choice, if we are to save ourselves from this wicked world. Okay, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to ask myself, what are you most passionate about? Be honest when you answer that now, as you sit there. And if Christ and His Word and His church and His kingdom are not at the top of your list of priorities, may I say, it may be more difficult for you to save yourself from this untoward generation. Is that too blunt? You're very quiet. I verily believe, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ and His church must be first in our lives. If indeed we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Now, I'm not telling you you got to do this to go to heaven. Everybody in here understand that. I'm talking about be delivered from everything that's going to try to get us while we're here. You know, Satan's got traps set for us. Satan would trap me. And by the way, one of the most important things for you and I to realize is that we ourselves have the ability, the capacity to commit horrible wickedness ourselves. You and I can do these wicked things. And if we don't know that, I'm telling you, Satan's already got us tricked. Evil is not just an abstraction. I ask you, what are you most passionate about? Most passionate. God, Christ, His Word, His church. It may be that one of the first things we need to do in order to save ourselves from this untoward generation is rearrange our priorities. I've had to do this. I won't go into detail, but in great ways that I was so horribly inadequate, I can barely describe it. To quote Dickie Hauptgewalks, I am a recovering Pharisee. Could it be that we need to save ourselves from bad priorities? Is that remotely possible? My friends, I said this before, I say it to you again, I got myself out of order. I do that all the time. I interrupt myself. This will not happen automatically in your life. What will happen automatically in your life is you'll drift away. That's what will happen automatically if you're not working at it. Hooked up short, pressing every day, denying yourself, seeking the kingdom, you might very well drift. Amen. And that very dilemma is why God in His Word is telling us, save yourself from this untoward generation. That's why God's telling us that. God knows what our tendencies are, whether we do or not. Right? God knows what we need, whether we do or not. And aren't you glad? We didn't have Bible study Wednesday night. We had a wonderful trip with Brother Dickie and Sister Charlotte. But by the time we got home, by the time yesterday got here, I was just about dying to meet with you. Now, I'm not saying I'm great, but I'm telling you right now, we got to have each other. I don't mean a little bit. We must put forth the effort. We must make the decision. We must make the commitment. And as I said to you before, nobody can very much help you until you first make this commitment. It's just like the old idea, you can't help someone that won't help themselves. That applies to this. I cannot tell you how many times I have shared truth on various Bible subjects with people who would not listen to what I told them about either theology or practice or ethics or anything. They would not listen, and so what I said didn't help them because they weren't willing to help themselves. Are you listening? I know you are. Don't listen to the baby. I know it's hard. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's an amazing statement. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:16. Nothing in what I just read to you set your affection, your passions on things above. This is a decision. Y'all listen, it's a decision. It's like choosing joy. Choosing joy. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joy, to rejoice is a choice. Incidentally, while you're turning to Timothy, I went to see Sister Elaine Green, beats all I've ever seen. In the nursing home, 95, nearing 96 years old, sharp as a tack, happy as a bird. I said, Sister Elaine, how do you do it? Sister Elaine. She said, how are you so positive, so happy all the time? She said, well, being negative is a waste of time. I said, amen. There's just some wisdom right there. Do you realize how hard I have had to fight against being negative? You say, Brother Gary, you keep fighting. Oh, well, I'm working on it. Since I said that, you listen to me, you parents. I love you so much. One of the most important things you will ever do as parents is have a positive, happy, upbeat home in which to raise your children. Not negative all the time, positive, happy, upbeat in the Lord. in your home. Because otherwise your children may spend 20 years trying to get over negativity that's been ground into them. I don't know where that came from. Well, that's actually the next couple of sermons when I start talking to you about saving others. Young people, that's one way you can save your children from a lot of heartache and woe down the road. Have a positive, happy, upbeat, cheerful home. Okay, enough of that. 1 Timothy 4:16. How can we save ourselves? Well, the first thing, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. What are you most passionate about? Get serious about God and His house and His word. Be happy about it. You know what? You got to work at it. Me and Mike have been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. You got to work at it. Anything worth having in this world, you got to work at. Isn't that right? 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, I know this is a preacher writing to a preacher. I know that. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who is a preacher. I know that very well. But look at verses 15 and 16 in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Okay, I know it's an election year. And maybe some of you watched the State of Disunion address. I did not. But I just want to tell you, warn you. Don't meditate upon that too much. Meditate upon these things. I mean it. I really mean it. I'm not telling you not to pay attention to who you vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for, obviously. But I'm telling you, don't let that stress you out too much. Think upon these things. I want you to know God's in control. Jesus Christ is still Lord. Let me also say, Seth's going to say, Dad, that was a crazy sermon. You were all over the place. I know. Let me say one thing else about that before I get back. Okay. Do not even let it enter your mind that politics will save America or that politics is going to save Christianity. Let me tell you, Christianity is all that will save the politics in America. Now, that's got to be the end of that, surely. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Meditate upon these things. Does everybody in here understand that's something you got to do? You have to do that. Meditate upon these things. I would say set aside an absolute specific time when you have quiet time with God. Face time with God. Get alone with God. If you got to turn something off, do it. Turn your phone off. Boy, I'm being mean this morning. You say, Brother Gary, the only time you turn your phone off is when you're taking a nap, and you're right. That's not altogether true, but... Oh, God, man, I like... I really do love you. And I hope you don't stop loving me. 1 Timothy 4:6. Okay. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly unto them. Now, I know he's talking to a preacher, and I know preachers have to set the example in this as in all other things, but I'm telling you this can apply to you as well. That thy profiting may appear to all. Number 16, take heed unto thyself. First thing you got to do is know yourself. Know what your problems are. Weaknesses. Do you have any? Somebody say, me too. My brothers and sisters, as painful as that is, it is really important that we know so we can seek God's will and try to do better. And yes, we can do better. Okay, let me pause. You're never going to be perfect. Don't get that out of your mind. Put it out of your mind. Forget thinking you've got to be perfect Christ was perfect for you. The only perfect righteousness that ever was enacted by Jesus Christ. And the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to each one of his elect at regeneration. There's a part of you that's perfect now. There's another part of you that isn't perfect. There's your dilemma. No, take heed unto thyself. Now, we're going to be better off, my brothers and sisters. This is hard. If we take more heed to ourselves, then we do everybody else's business. Remember that text over there, don't be busybodies? That's crazy. The Bible teaches us against being busybodies. Minding other people's business. My mama used to tell me, keep your own nose clean. That was her exact words. That's kind of gross. But that means, mind your own business. You got a big enough job keeping your own situation. And she was exactly right. We, each one of us, need to realize we have a fallen nature. And that fallen nature must be resisted mercilessly in our daily lives. That's why it says crucify the flesh. That means have no mercy on it. On the flesh and the lust thereof. Okay. Take heed unto thyself. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are against us. All these natural things, they're against us. Then it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Brothers and sisters, do you want to save yourself from this untoward generation? What I just said to you is one of the most important things that there is. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, the teaching, the doctrine of Christ and the apostles. Are you with me? The doctrine of Christ and the apostles will tell you the truth about the world. It'll even tell you the sad truth about yourself. Right? Okay, do we need to be told the truth about ourselves, or do you want to be lied to about yourself? Think with me now. Do you want somebody to lie to you about how great you are? Or would you rather be told the truth of what we need to do in order to do better in the Lord's service? Take heed unto the doctrine. I'm going to ask you, are there any false doctrines being taught in the world today? False doctrines about Christ. False doctrines about salvation. False doctrines about reproductive rights. And on I could go. Are there false doctrines taught by folks that call themselves Christian? Is that going on anywhere? Brothers and sisters, are you listening? You and I need to be saved from that just as much as we need to be saved from other things going on in the world today. Can you say amen? This is painful. Are there so-called churches today that are anti-Christian? Is that possible? Okay, now before I go any further, I want you to know we Primitive Baptists have been guilty too of things that aren't right. And I will be more merciless on us than I will anybody else. Yes, I will. Now I won't go into details. Even PB dogma must be measured by God's word alone. I believe this with all my heart. Everybody with me? Okay. All right. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Now, how in the round world am I going to be able to know what's right and wrong? I don't have to go around studying all the wrong stuff. I just need to study the Word of God. Study the genuine article, the truth of God, and I'll know what's right and wrong. This is what we must do to save ourselves from this wicked generation. And then it says, Okay, I'm still in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, then continue in them. And right there, this is where many people miss the mark or fail the test or drop the ball. They don't continue in these things. They let something lead them away. Amen. Now remember, I'm not talking about people going to heaven. I'm talking about people being delivered from the pitfalls of this world. Continue in them. Do not depart the church for false doctrine or false practice. Are you with me? Because that is a trap. It's a trap. Then he says in verse 16, I'll get to that in just a second, the trap. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We'll get to that, says save yourself, right? Save yourself. You want to save yourself? He just told you how to do it. Right there is exactly how you do it. Meditate upon these things. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Well, that preacher said something I didn't like. So-and-so said something I kind of didn't like. You know, mean old brother so-and-so kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Okay, this is hard. Get over it. This is what forgiveness is all about. I tell you, forgiveness is a big issue. Okay, enough of that. All right. Now, I said about the traps. Turn over just a couple of pages to 2 Timothy. If you don't think there are traps out there for God's children, is Satan setting traps for God's children? What do you think? Okay. The very end of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The very end. Merciful heavens. Okay. I'm starting verse 24. Everybody there? But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. Again, these are words written to a preacher. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Oh, wait a minute. You mean we do things that oppose ourselves? You mean we might want to do something that isn't really good for us? In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they, so sharing the truth with others, that they may recover themselves. Save yourself from this untoward generation. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Did you know the devil's got theological snares set for people? Traps, booby traps. And do you realize what that just said is, in a sense, we have to save ourselves from those traps. How do you do that? Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Do not let yourself be led astray. This is a commitment we must make. It's very much like the commitment a man and a wife make when they say, I do. Having eyes for no other, keep yourself only unto her or him. Amen. True doctrine and true practice will enable us to recover ourselves from the snare of the devil, save ourselves from this untoward generation. Okay. All right. Okay. In conclusion, I know, what a mixed up mess. I'm going to do so good. I'm going to do great. They're going to be so proud of me. This is, y'all listen to me. Forgive me if you must, but listen. To save yourself from this untoward generation, You must absolutely dedicate yourself to this church. That's pretty blunt. Arminian doctrine is a trap. Calvinism is a trap. Reformed doctrine, it's a trap. But none of that is taught here. That's pretty bold. This church must be a top priority in your life. I believe this with all my heart. If you would save yourself from this untoward generation, you must lay aside your pride or whatever it is that's keeping you from joining this church. And dedicate yourself to be here every Sunday. Top priority. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I got this from Brother Mike to some degree, but I'm to blame for it because I'm the one saying it. An hour and a half a week is not very much to ask. Now is it? And I said an hour and a half. I stress that. An hour and a half. I ask you, is that much to ask to do something profound to save ourselves from this untoward generation? I ask you. We have to work at it. Refuse to let carnal things interfere. And I assure you, you and I can be saved in a thousand ways if we will make that commitment. The spiritual food that we receive at the house of God is one of the absolute most important things we all need in order to save ourselves from this wicked world we live in. Okay, let me say a little bit more here and I'm gonna quit. I know. Y'all, I know of no other place locally where the gospel of Christ is taught in its truth and simplicity. I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you. Where salvation by God's grace is taught and not contradicted. Did you know that's a trap too? That's a trap. Where there is no schism in the body during the song service or the preaching or the prayer service, or Bible study. We're all in this thing together. Where you will be taught how you have been eternally saved without any human device, only by the grace of God. And then to be told how and what you must do to save yourself from this crazy woke world we live in. And I thank you for your incredible attention and your patience.